Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Holly, we have with us as a guest in the studio for this segment, Aaron Rice, who is the president of the Michigan Equine Partnership. He's also the owner of Rice's Percherons in Battle Creek, and he's involved in planning the Michigan Great Lakes International Draft Horse Show in Pole. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Well, thank you, Lee. It's a pleasure to be here. What an honor to get to sit here with you and discuss the show. We are so proud of our show, and we really like to talk about it. So thank you very much for your...
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here. Aaron, can you describe what the show is like for our audience if they haven't been there so they can kind of understand what it is exactly that you're doing?
It's actually a draft horse show. It's an event that's held the third week of October every year. It's the 35th year we're into. This is going to be our 35th year celebration. We highlight the activities of the draft horses through a number of different ways: hitching, haulering, plowing, field events, and pulling. So it's a great show. It's a large show. It's one of the largest shows in the United States, 10th largest in the United States, the largest in the state of Michigan.
Interesting. And I would assume, forgive me for my lack of knowledge, but I'm assuming that the kind of horses you see there are more accustomed to work-type functions as opposed to your purebred racers that most people typically think about when they think about horses. Is that right?
Yeah. The draft horse is a larger horse. It's bred basically for the utility use. They use it for working. Way back in early time, it was used for the horse that carried the knights. It was the heavy horse. And as it's progressed, they used it in the fields in Europe. It came to America through imports in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And since then, it's been a great part of the United States economy and culture.
Fantastic. And so where people would be accustomed to seeing these horses, obviously we were joking before the show about the Budweiser commercials. They've seen the Clydesdales, but also where you typically go for a carriage ride or you see a horse plowing in the field. That's what you're pretty much talking about.
Correct. We still use the heavy horse a lot today. It's used in the carriage work in the cities. It's used in farming still in Midwest America. It's used for show and commercial hitches. It's used for a lot of different purposes, but it is a utility horse.
If I may jump in here, my understanding is that these are wild prototypes, and they're adapted by natural selection to cold and damp climates from Northern Europe, so that they are not a horse that you're going to see in the Southwest. Typically, this is a horse that you're going to see in colder climates.
That's correct. In Europe and in France and in Belgium and in Scotland, the horses were adapted to those climates, and they are a cooler, damper climate. And so they were bred for that use. And as they were brought to America, they continued in that spirit. And that's where the major farming operations that they were used for is in that climate.
And they're a cross between the large Shire horses, and then the sturdy Shetland pony. They were crossbred between those two to get this type of a breed, this working breed.
Yes, there were a number of different crosses. The Percheron was bred with the Arab horse to make it a little more adapt. The Clydesdale was pretty much bred, again, with the Shire and the Clydesdale. The Belgian horse was with a draft pony and a larger, heavier horse. So there were a number of ways that they were made up to adapt in early Europe.
What kind of training goes into these horses? I mean, how does it compare to training a horse to race fast in a race as opposed to do all of these different work functions? Are the horses very smart in terms of learning? Kind of share with our listeners what that is like.
These horses have been bred and used so long in this way that they're a people horse. They're very adept to people. It's amazing how... many new users of these horses, or the new people in the breed, are so enthralled by the way that they react to people. But they're used to people. They're used to the work that they do. There's a lot of training. It starts from birth, just like at any horse. We start, as soon as they're born, we start touching and working with them and working right on through with the youngsters at 2, 3, and then up to where we start to put them in full use at 4.
And how old do these horses typically get before they retire? You hear about racehorses that by the time they're 4 or 5 years old, it's like they're becoming ancient in the racing field. How long can these workhorses work before they need to be retired to an easier function?
It kind of reminds me of Kobe Bryant and Brett Favre. We're just not sure how long we're going to go, but typically they go well through 10 years old. 19, they tend to be a little older. They live to 22, okay. So we'll work them up through 10 to 15 years old adequately.
And then when the horses go into retirement, typically what kind of functions do they serve at that point? Are they just pretty much living out their life, or are there other functions that they can be used for?
Well, we continue to breed them right on through into older age, so they still have their breeding capacity. And then at a certain point, we give them retirement, just like everybody else, and field pasture them.
Well, I hope that the horse Social Security program is secure then,
right?
Because I would imagine that they eat an awful lot.
I'm thinking it's just as secure as the one we're dealing with at this time.
Right. Can't be any worse.
I don't think it's any more trouble, but they do well.
Okay. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about the Michigan Great Lakes International Draft Horse Show and Pull?
Yeah. Like I say, it's a 4-day event. This year, it's coming to us in October 16th through the 19th at the MSU Pavilion there on campus in East Lansing. The pavilion is a pristine facility. It's a great place to come. We'll carry from 1,000 to 1,200 horses there. Well, we have stalls for up to about 800. The rest of them, we actually build tents and put up a city in order to accommodate. It's a tremendous packed show. Every minute's choreographed, but you just would have to see it. They're large. They're beautiful. The quality of the equipment is superior, and the colors and the noises and everything that goes with it, the music, you would love it. You'd have to come and see it.
Are you doing anything special for the 35th anniversary?
Typically, we'll bring in special music, and we'll highlight a 6-horse hitch class with special funding on that.
Fantastic.
So we'll have something special. But there was another part of the horses. The horses were used in commercial use on the roads for years and years. They delivered your milk. They delivered all your staple goods. There weren't cars. There weren't trucks. And so with that, the successful companies, the commercial companies, always had their prize hitch. And then when they got together, they would display that in competition. We carry that tradition today. So what you're seeing is the very top end of the breeding, the very top end of the equipment, and the very top end of the drivers. So it's quite a thing to see.
Aaron, are these horses the kinds of horses that you would recommend to people who maybe they have a decent amount of land, but they're relatively new to the horse trade or having horses on their property? I mean, is this a good first step, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
I think the draft horse is one of the easiest horses to start with. They have the mentality for it. They have the stamina to withstand a new owner. They have all the things that it takes to make it easy for the first person. They're calm, they're quiet, and typically they do a good job.
And you said that they're pleasers.
They are. They work
fantastic.
Well. They love to please people. And some people are used to thoroughbreds and racehorses and that, and they're such a hot, high-strung horse. These are very calm, and people just love them. When we display them around the country, as we do for commercial hitches, people are constantly petting them, working, interacting with the horses, kissing them on the nose. We let them drive sometimes, you know, just real, real great interaction. And at that show, if you'll come and see us, you'll be able to interact with them too. I mean, the stables are open to everyone.
Aaron, if any of our listeners are interested in talking with you about either the show or the various horses that you've got available, or just to get your advice on it, how would they be able to get in touch with you?
Well, we have a website. It's MGLI.org, Michigan Great Lakes International, MGLI.org. And all my information's there and a number of other folks that are able to help you there.
Okay. And do you do a little bit of consulting in that area to help people who are really trying to endeavor for the first time into these types of horses?
Yeah. My position is really to promote the heavy draft horse, and we do that in a number of ways. We do it politically, we do it economically, and we do it socially. So any way that we can help you, we're glad to, and don't hesitate to contact us.
Fantastic. We've been talking this morning with Aaron Rice. He's the president of the Michigan Equine Partnership. He's the owner of Rice's Percherons in Battle Creek, and he's involved in planning the Great Lakes International Draft Horse Show and Pull, which takes place every year in October at the MSU Pavilion. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Aaron. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Lee, and thank you, Holly, so much for inviting me.
It's a pleasure.
It's great.
It's
thank
been
you.
Our pleasure.